translation. Since your two hands will always be engaged in chanting and counting the holy names, how will you be able to carry the water pot and external garments? So this is Lord Nityananda inquiring Lord Chaitanya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. From this verse it is clear that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the holy names a fixed number of times daily. The Goswamis used to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Haridas Thakur also followed this principle. Concerning the Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srinivas Acharya confirms Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabhi. Sakaswamastika 6. In addition to other duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the system of chanting the holy name of the Lord a fixed number of times daily, as confirmed in his verse, Toma Dui Hasta Bada Nama Ganame. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to count on his fingers, but one hand was engaged in chanting, the other hand kept the number of rounds. This is corroborated in Chaitanya Chandamita and also in Srila Rupa Goswami's Stavamala. There's these two quotes in the Chandamita, Chaitanya Chandamita 16, Banan Prema Bara Prakampita Karo Granta Kati Dorakai Sankyachan Nijaloka Mangala Hare Krishneti Nana Japan. And this quote from Pratama Chaitanyastika 5, which is apparently Pratama means first. So Rupa Goswami had three prayers called Chaitanyastika, which are eight prayers glorifying Lord Chaitanya. This is number 5 from the first set of these eight prayers. Hare Krishna Tirupchai Spurti Rasno Nama Ganana Krita Granti Shreni Sabag Kati Shutoja Kara. Therefore, devotees in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must chant at least 16 rounds daily. And this is the number prescribed by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Haridas Thakur daily chanted 300,000 names. 16 rounds is about 28,000 names. There is no need to imitate Haridas Thakur or the other Goswamis. The chanting holy name a fixed number of times daily is essential for every devotee. Om Jnanatam Randasya Nandana Shlokaya Chakshun Nintamena Tajlai Shri Yuvayam Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutane Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dabati Svapanam Andeham Shri Guru Shri Chaitanam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrutam Sagana Vagnatam Sadhvaitam, Sadhvaitam, Purjana Sayitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Banam, Saganavaitam, Shri Shigam, Shri Hey Krishna Kuna Sindo, Ina Bando Jagapate, Obeish Gopikanta, Vada Kanta Moshite, Tapta Kanta Nagorangi, Rahe, Vrindavaneshu, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Padmani, Panchakava, Purubhya Sha, Kripa, Sindhu Devita, Titanam Pavanirio Vaishkayo Mona. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhuni Dhyana Sri Vidana Sri Vidana Sri Vidana Gorva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. Verse again, since your two hands will be always engaged in chanting and counting the holy names, how will you be able to carry the water pot and external garments? So, in these verses, there are different topics talked about the Lord and his relationship with his devotees. But Srila Prabhupada took the opportunity to focus on this one essential point in this purport, that it's essential to chant the holy name a fixed number of times daily. So,
So
Lord Chaitanya, he chanted a fixed number of times daily. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, but he came in the role of a bhakta. Not only the role of a bhakta, but as actually an aspiring devotee. He was said in his prayers we just chanted, Nam Nam Akari Bahudani Jashapa Shastis. He's glorifying the holy name, but he says, because I'm offensive, I can't even chant properly. So he's presenting himself as somebody who's struggling to chant Hare Krishna. Although he in fact is Radha and Krishna themselves. He's actually the person that the mantra is talking about. The mantra is talking about Hara, Mother Hara, and her father Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is both of these, but he's playing the role of a devotee struggling to practice sadhana bhakti. And Prabhupada says that the five members of the Panchatattva, they're all liberated. And if we simply can understand that these five people, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chandra, Gadadhar and Srivastava, if we understand that they're liberated, just by that understanding we can become liberated. And so they're all liberated, and certainly the Goswamis were liberated souls. So why are they chanting a fixed number of times? Like a sadhana bhakta. Because they wanted to show the necessity of it for the neophyte devotee, for one who's in the stage of vaidhi, practicing sadhana bhakti, one should chant a fixed number of rounds. Because the chanting is purifying, and as neophyte devotees, sometimes we feel like chanting, and sometimes we don't feel like chanting. Imagine, suppose you were a student, and sometimes you feel like studying, and sometimes you don't feel like studying. But if you only study when you feel like studying, you might not actually pass your exams. And you may be a worker in the workplace, and you may feel like working, or you may not feel like working. But if you just went to work when you felt like working, you might end up losing your job, because you may not feel like working very much. So, in the same way, we may feel like chanting Hare Krishna or not feel like chanting Hare Krishna, but we regularly chant Hare Krishna every day, just like the students go to their classes every day and the workers go to their jobs every day, because we want to progress every day, step by step, closer to Krishna. And so my favorite teachings of Srila Prabhupada is that there's no difference between the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself. Actually, there's one very excellent purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada says that if one simply accepts that there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, then he is a pure devotee, even though in the neophyte stage, which is a curious term. But the idea is that faith, that there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name is very powerful. And he continued to say that if anybody hears such a person chanting with that faith, that person will become purified. So when we go out on Harinam, if we just think about that there's no difference between this name that I'm chanting and Krishna himself, and that these people are getting the darshan of Krishna simply by hearing the holy name, that our chanting will be very pure, and everyone who hears our chanting will become purified. Even though we may have a few material desires still rattling around in our brains, still we will be able to purify people because of that faith. It said that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he opened a marketplace of the holy name, and he gave the holy name to the people according to their faith. That was he didn't ask a certain number of rupees or gold coins or small conch shells or whatever the medium exchange was at the time, but he asked simply for faith. So we have the holy name ourselves in accordance with how much faith we have in the holy name. So, now apparently the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had different vows. Haridas Thakur, he chanted 300,000 names, which basically is, he chanted 192 rounds, which is 12 times 16 rounds. So he was, I think he chanted more than the rest of them. It said that Raghunath Das Goswami, he chanted 100,000 names or 64 rounds a day. He also had a very elaborate sadhana, Raghunath Das Goswami. He would recite the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya for the pleasure of the devotees for 3 hours a day. And then he would offer obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas a day. And he would offer obeisances to the deity 1,000 times a day. And therefore, basically, the strategy of these Goswamis was to spend so much time serving Krishna that there was no time for Maya. And that is also our strategy. And that verse that Prabhupada quoted in the purport, that partial verse from the Goswamasika, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gananatabhi, means that Sankhya means by counting. So they counted, I'm going to chant so long, I'm going to read so long, I'm going to offer so many obeisances. In this way, they allocated so much time to spiritual activities. And there's only 24 hours in a day. So the more hours you allocate to spiritual activities, the fewer hours you have left over for Maya. So that was the strategy of the Abhidhi Bhakta to schedule his activities. Sometimes in the history of ISKCON, we've heard that different temples, they had temple presidents who made schedules for all the devotees. You know, every hour of the whole week was scheduled. You know, so that was sure that there wouldn't be in Maya. And if we don't have some authority who's willing to schedule us, we can schedule our own time, so we're always engaged in some practical service. As far as how much to chant, there's another reference that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would only take prasadam in the house of somebody who was chanting 64 rounds a day. And otherwise, he referred to that person as a master of 100,000. And apparently in that time period, a master of 100,000 usually meant 100,000 lakhs of gold coins or whatever it was. You know, it meant a very wealthy businessman. But he used it to mean somebody who was very wealthy in terms of the chanting of the holy name. Somebody who chanted 100,000, a lakh of rounds. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he advised his followers to chant 64 rounds. But that was not absolute. It wasn't that every single disciple was forced to chant 64 rounds. And some of his biggest leaders, if you read that book by Bhakti Vikaswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava, his biggest leaders were so busily engaged in organizational activities that they would just chant 16 rounds. So apparently 16 rounds was the bare minimum for serious practitioners in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. And therefore, it became the bare minimum that Srila Prabhupada was willing to assign. Originally, he wanted to assign 32 rounds, but Mukunda Goswami fortunately said, no, it's not possible for us to chant 32 rounds. And then Srila Prabhupada reduced it to a minimum of 16. And he said that that because you're fully engaged in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it will be sufficient that you chant these 16 rounds. But the idea was that we would use the rest of the time to perform practical activities in the Lord's mission. Some devotees who were here during Prabhupada's time speak of what's called the Srila Prabhupada guarantee. And there are some lectures where Prabhupada actually said that if you chant these 16 rounds and if you follow these four regular principles, I guarantee that you will go back to Godhead at the end of this life. There are two or three instances where Prabhupada said that, and somebody, he promised, he made a guarantee. And the idea is that that the highly elevated devotee, his promises are very valuable because he's so dear to Krishna. Krishna makes it his personal business to make sure that the promises of his devotees come to pass. For example, Narada Muni, he cursed these two sons of Kuvera. You will be trees, but you will be trees in the house of Maharaj Nanda. And then when Lord Krishna appears, then he will liberate you. And then Lord Krishna in his little baby body thought, oh, my great sage Narada, he promised that I would liberate these two sons of Kuvera. So even though I have no business with these rascal demigods, just to fulfill my devotee's words, I'm going to liberate them and pull down those two trees, sticking the cart between them. And that idea also came up in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. At the very end of, there's actually a couple of instructive incidents in this pastime. At the very end of Haridas Thakur's life, he was struggling to chant his 16 rounds. And he was very slowly chanting. Lord Chaitanya came upon him and he was expressing that he was in a diseased condition. And Lord Chaitanya asked what the symptoms of the disease were. And Haridas Thakur said, my disease is I cannot chant my rounds. He vowed to chant 192 rounds, and he was having difficulty completing them. So then Prabhupada mentions in the purport that if we cannot complete our quota of 16 rounds, we should consider ourselves to be in a diseased condition of life. And then at that time, Lord Chaitanya said, well, you're already liberated. There's no need for you to follow this strictly. So that is the mercy of these Goswamis. It wasn't needed that they follow these things strictly, but just to set an example for us, so we would follow them strictly. They follow them strictly. And then Haridas Thakur expressed his real request. His real request was that, actually, I don't want to see the end of your pastimes. It would cause me too much pain, oh Lord Chaitanya, for me to see you leaving this world. I want to leave this world first. So Lord Chaitanya, he didn't like that idea. He didn't want to lose the association of Haridas Thakur, who was so dear to him. But he said that, actually, you are so elevated in devotional service, Haridas, that Lord Krishna must immediately execute whatever you desire. That's your position. So, similarly, Srila Prabhupada, because he is the one person who actually took Lord Chaitanya's message and spread it all over the world. What Lord Chaitanya predicted, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur strived for, Srila Prabhupada actually accomplished. So there's no limit to how dear he is to Lord Chaitanya. So when Srila Prabhupada makes a promise, if you chant these 16 rounds and you follow these four rules, you'll definitely go back to God. And we can take that as a guarantee. And the Prabhupada's qualified to make such a promise and have it kept by Krishna because of his purity and devotional service. Elsewhere regarding this quota, Srila Prabhupada said in Nectar of Devotion that if we can't chant 16 rounds in one day, the next day we should make it up. At the end of the month, we have 83 rounds left, or something. There we have. Sometimes I have 10 extra rounds for Kartik or something. I'm not so serious about it, so at the end of the day, I have a few left over. And then by the end of the month of Kartik, I have 83 rounds of my extra rounds that I never got around to chant, which I chant over the next couple of weeks or so. But that shouldn't be something that happens with our quota of 16. We end up having more than 16 rounds to make up in one day. We have to be serious about that. And Prabhupada said not to be serious about that is offensive, and that we cannot progress in devotional service if we are offensive. Otherwise, he said, mentioned that just like with Haridas, we're not expected to chant, you know, 192 rounds, but we are expected to chant faithfully our 16. Certainly in the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj was like drinking every sixth day and breathing every ninth day and performing some very severe austerities. In the purport, Prabhupada said, we're not competent to perform these austerities that Dhruva did, but we should bow at least these austerities. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And we should be as enthusiastic to follow these four principles as Dhruva was to perform his austerities in devotional service. And if we're that enthusiastic, we'll be successful. And so, one may ask, if the Dharma is Sankirtan, then why do we chant japa? So this verse actually answers that question. We chant japa because Lord Chaitanya chanted japa, and the six ghost families chanted japa. Lord Chaitanya taught by his example to chant a fixed number of rounds on beads every day. Although the Bhagavatam says, Krishna Varanam Trisha Krishna Sangha Pangas Kaparshatam Yagnai Sankirtanam Paryarya Jati Sumevasan, that in the age of Kali, the Supreme Lord appears in a golden form along with his associates and is worshipped by persons of sufficient intelligence by the congregational chanting of the holy name Sankirtan. And so this chanting of the holy name is the dharma of this age. There's many, many beautiful and excellent verses reminding us of that. One of Lord Chaitanya's favorite was Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Klo Nashteva, 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 Gatir Anita. If you're interested about self-realization in this age of Kali, you must chant the holy name. You must chant the holy name. You must chant the holy name. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Sometimes Prabhupada, when commenting on that, he would say that fortunately we're not able to make any compromises with people who advocate karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga. Because of this verse, he said, first nasteva, there's no other way, means not by karma. The second means not by jnana. The third means not by yoga. Only by bhakti yoga. And that this bhakti yoga begins with the chanting of the holy name is not a new idea. There's a verse actually in the Adamiya section of the Srimad Bhagavatam that mentions this. Edavani avaloke smin pumsam dharma parasmitaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tanama granadibi. The ultimate activity for the human being is the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, which begins Tanama Griyanadibi with the chanting of the holy name. So even back in Ajamil's time, it was understood that Bhakti Yoga begins with this chanting of the holy name. Another very important verse in this connection, actually a couple of two verses together, are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashakam Namnam, these 16 names. Kali Kamasha Nashanam, destroy all the impurities of the age of Kali. Nata Parataro Payam, there is no superior activity. Sarva Vede Shudashiti, if you look through all the Vedic literatures, you won't find a superior method of self-realization for this age. So this mantra is actually mentioned. Sometimes people wonder why we stress this mantra if Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarvasaktis. There are many, many names. Why these names? Because of that mantra, those two verses. What other verses are there about the holy name? There's one very famous one from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Kali dosha nidhe rajan, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults. Hastiheka mahan guna, but it has one good quality. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Mukta Sangha. Rambrajat. Yes. One can attain the supreme liberation. So it's very well established that the chanting the holy name is the dharma for this age. There's no debate. So we should be very much convinced of this. So in the Japa Reform Notebook of Satsrupa Das Goswami, he quoted in the very preface this quote by Prabhupada from the Madhya Lila, where he says that the chanting the 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most important instruction of the spiritual master. So that we should not forget. We may be thinking that this is my service or that is my service, but if we haven't completed 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mantra, then we haven't done our main service. And what will happen is our other service will turn into karma, basically, if we don't do our 16 rounds. We'll lose track of our transcendental focus. And many people in the history of ISKCON have not taken seriously the 16 rounds and have lost track of their transcendental objective. So, for the remainder of this class, which I guess ends at 9 o'clock on Sunday, is that true? I just wanted to talk about improving japa. Improving japa is a topic. It started actually, Satsrupa Maharaj was one of the first japa reformers, and then other people got on the japa reform bandwagon and introduced japa retreats. I had the good pleasure of going to a couple japa retreats with Satchinandana Swami and Radhadesh. Of course, one of my favorite ideas concerning japa comes from a quote in the Harinam Chintamani, actually, that describes it. Even if we can eliminate, by our strength of our intelligence, we can eliminate the 10 offenses from our life, from our chanting. If we can't eliminate the offense of inattention, we will not attain Krishna prema. This inattention is not a light offense. It's very offensive, actually, because the holy name is Krishna himself. So when we're chanting, Krishna is personally appearing in our mind. So if we ignore him, that is very bad. It's just like if Krishna comes to your place, knocks on your door, and you don't answer the door, or you answer the door and you just stand there and don't say anything, or you invite him in and offer him a seat and then go back to your email. Or, I mean, it's actually unthinkable. You know? So we have to think like that we're inviting Krishna into our mind by our chanting. And then when Krishna's there, we can't neglect him. We can't not offer him a place to sit. We can't not offer him obeisances. We can't not offer him some food. We cannot offer him a place to rest. We have to offer reception to the Lord who's appearing in the holy name. And the minimum reception is just to hear. So, how to chant attentively? There's different strategies. One is to remember our predicament. Basically, until we attain love for Krishna, we're going to have to get another material body in this to practice bhakti yoga. And although it's nice being situated in human society practicing bhakti yoga, still it's much better to be in Goloka Vrindavan, spontaneously living bhakti yoga. So it's troublesome to take another material body, but unless our chanting is pure, but before the end of this life, we'll have to take another material body. So we can keep in mind that we haven't attained perfection, and our time is running out. There's none of us who is not getting closer to death each day. Everyone is getting one day closer. So we can have that seriousness. Some people say, well, imagine you're at the airport and you have a flight to catch and they're making announcements. You listen very carefully to make sure that you'll get on your plane. So we have to listen very carefully to make sure we go back to God. Otherwise, there's no... If our chanting is inattentive, we won't go back to God. We'll have to come back. Another strategy is the whole conception of chanting 16 rounds attentively sounds overwhelming. But the idea of chanting one mantra attentively may actually be possible. We may actually be able to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We might be able to do one mantra attentively. So if we can do one mantra attentively, we can do 16 rounds attentively. We just have to do one mantra at a time. Focus on just chanting one mantra attentively, and after you do that, then focus on chanting the next mantra attentively. And that's a strategy Burijan Prabhu has advised. I have a strategy that I use, which I'll share. It helps with the attention, it also helps with chanting too slowly. One is you take a breath and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You chant two mantras and then you attentively, and then you take another breath and you chant two mantras attentively. And this way, you can't chant too slowly, otherwise you would die of suffocation. Find your rounds were done in less than 2 hours. And you are automatically focused. There's a time when you can refocus again at the end of the breath. Okay, now I'm going to chant two more mantras. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, like that. So individual japa is very individual, and there are no hard and fast rules. But different devotees have found different strategies that help them pay attention. And we can try and find something that works for us. But my realization is if you do try to chant with attention, that the next day when it's time to chant japa, you will look forward to chanting japa. You won't think, oh no, I got to chant japa. Because Krishna does reciprocate. They are trying to chant japa better by inspiring us to chant japa. He provides, because Krishna actually is, everything comes from within. The enthusiasm to chant japa comes from Krishna. And if we show him that we're serious about chanting japa, he'll give us that enthusiasm from within. Other things he can do is he can increase, he can chant extra rounds on Ekadashi. My realization if you chant extra rounds on Ekadashi is that when the temple president announces today is Ekadashi, he'll say Jai instead of saying oh. Oh. Sometimes you hear groans. Oh no. And we can always pray to Krishna to be able to chant better. That's very simple. It's very practical. Krishna is the controller of. He's Rishikesha, he's the controller of our senses, and we can pray to him to be able to chant with attention. So those are some ideas. And I did want to save some time for questions, so we have 1 minute for questions. Does anybody have any questions in the remaining minute? Yes, sir.
I have this doubt in my mind. I hope you can touch it. Whether it's really possible pure face and impure desires at the same time. You mentioned that one has praising the holy name, but he has struggled with material desires, still, how to say, it's possible to praise his name.
Well, Prabhupada actually used that phrase in the purport. You can look it up at your leisure in the database. But so a person who understands that there's no difference between the Lord and his holy name is a pure devotee, even though in the neophyte stage. So neophyte devotee means they have material desires. So Prabhupada thought it was possible. And that's basically how we increase. I mean, that's why our chanting is purifying. You know, if our chanting was just offensive, then we wouldn't become purified by the chanting. But the chanting is purifying us. That's because we have because of whatever faith we have. There's another interesting thing, which I guess I really don't have time to tell. But maybe I could tell it quickly. Some people in the beginning are very enthusiastic to chant japa, but you know, later on they lose the impetus. Right? People say it's like Krishna gives you some special impetus when you come to Krishna consciousness. Rabindranath Tagore analyzed that as that when you come, because you don't know what the offenses are, you're chanting is Namabhas, which is on the clearing stage, which is a liberated stage, and therefore you feel liberation, you feel relief from material life when you first come to devotional service. But to maintain your situation on the clearing stage, on the liberated stage, on the Namabhasa stage, you have to try to give up the offenses once you learn them. If you don't try to give up the offenses, you fall down from Namabhasa to Namaparada. Namaparada is a conditioned stage, and therefore your grimy, miserable material emotions that may reappear in your mind, and not your freedom from material existence, which the Namabhasa had brought to you as a side effect. So that's another point. But our chanting is purifying us, even though we still have a few material desires rattling around in our brain. In one sense, these desires aren't us. You know? We are not our body, we are not our mind, we are not our intelligence. We are part and parcel of Krishna, pure spirit. And these material desires, they have absolutely nothing to do with us. It's only due to illusion. We've developed a fondness for them because they've been our. We've considered them ours for so many years. We feel like we have an obligation to our material desires. But from the point of view of the Shastra, we actually owe nothing to these material desires. And in one moment we can say, just like somebody be in a relationship they don't like, and it's finally gets to be too much, and they finally, you know, decide to break up with the person. You know? So we can actually decide to break up with our material desires, you know. We can decide, we're disgusted by their association, they haven't done one thing for us, and we're going to walk away from them. Because the soul actually, in reality, has absolutely nothing to do with the whole material sphere, actually. So there, it's just to do, because of our past conditioning, our past karma, they're looking around in our mind. Actually, we don't actually owe them anything. And we can pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, just as you ripped apart the big demon, Hiranyakashipu, please destroy my demoniac desires for fruitive work in this world, as Prahlad Maharaj prayed. And then we can continue chanting and hope for the best. So we have to end this class. Of course, Jaini Thakur is not here. Managed to squeeze a few extra minutes in. But if you have any questions, I work for Krishna.com Live Help. I'm one of the persons who answers questions. And people can write me at my email address, kk@krishna.com. That's kk for Krishna Kripa at krishna.com. And I will answer you within 3 days. Thank you for your kind attention. This is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki!
His grace Krishna Kripa Prabhu ki!
Jai!
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki!
Jai!
Reading the Sankirtan scores, key.
Jai.